His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor, for reading that passage. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would exalt your word right now in each and every one of our lives. Lord, help us to see the importance it ought to hold in our lives as our ultimate authority. And it's in the name of the living word we ask these things. Amen. I want you just to listen for a moment. God, speaking through his prophet Isaiah to the people of Judah about them leaving the authority of Scripture for something else. I just want you to listen to for a moment as I read to you a short passage here from Isaiah. This is God speaking to the people of Judah through the prophet Isaiah. He says this: "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate, as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah." Clearly, after hearing that, there is an obvious danger for a people who reject and forsake God's authority over their lives. There is a danger for a people who reject and forsake the authority of God's word in their lives. The kingdom of Israel, by this time, the kingdom of Israel had already done that. They'd already forsaken God, the authority of God's word in their lives a long time ago. And now the nation and kingdom of Judah was following in their footsteps. They had been rejecting the authority of God's word in their lives, coming up with their own traditions, deciding how they would worship, who they would worship, where they would worship. The kingdom of Judah was following in their footsteps, and God describes them thusly. We need to see what else God has to say about this people who would reject the authority of his word in their lives for something else. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. God continues describing them here. Isaiah 30, beginning at verse 9. "This is a people who would forsake the authority of God's word for their lives for something else." Listen to what God says, verse 9. Speaking of them, he says, "For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip water out of the cistern. A people who rejected the authority of God's word for their lives for something else. And here's the thing, that same danger lies right now before each and every one of us. All of us are faced with the temptation to reject the authority of God's word in our lives for something else. This danger is that we might slowly sink into an ignorance of who God is. That we could find ourselves in a position someday where we do not know the God of heaven. We do not know ourselves from His perspective. That is where we are at today. And that is the position Martin Luther and the Reformers found themselves in their day. And that's the condition they found the church in their day. When they began to read and study the scriptures for themselves, they could clearly see the church had departed from the Word of God as the authority in their lives. Their call to the church was to return to the authority of the scriptures. They weren't trying to break up the church. They wanted the church to turn. Come back. Come back to the authority of God's word. One of the foundational convictions of the Reformers was the idea of sola scriptura, scripture alone. Pastor began continued our Reformation series last week by talking and beginning the look at the five solas of the Reformation. We have a slide that Pastor used last week. The five solas of the Reformation: sola scriptura, solus Christus, sola gratia, sola fide, soli dea gloria. The five solas of the Reformation. Last week, Pastor began it by talking about solus Christus, the idea of Christ alone. Christ. Because without Christ, where does that leave us? Without Christ, there is no Christianity. Without Christ, there's no redemption. Without Christ, there's no forgiveness of sins. There's no salvation. There's no resurrection. Without Christ, there's no glorification. Without Christ, there's nothing. If Christ, as Pastor said last week, if Christ is at the center and reason for everything, and He is, and if Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and He is, then the scriptures that reveal Him to us become all important. And the scriptures who speak of Christ should hold a place of authority in the lives of His people. And the Reformers could clearly see that that wasn't so in their case. The scriptures that reveal the Christ of salvation become all important, should become all important for us, and hold that ultimate place of authority in our lives. I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about, and I want to challenge you to consider, what place does this hold in my life? Is it a place of authority, ultimate authority, or is it just something I consult from time to time? turn with me to John chapter 5. Have it up here on the screen too. I want to connect the dots for you. I want you to see how Christ alone is connected to Scripture alone as our ultimate place of authority. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, John 5 and verse 39. Note what he says here. He says to the Pharisees, You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Scripture reveals to us the Christ who can save us. Turn with me to Romans 10. I want you to see what Paul says there. Romans 10:17. Paul, speaking about the faith that brings salvation, says this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through tradition? No. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The doctrine, the teaching, the truth of Christ alone is connected directly with the idea of Scripture alone. Scripture as the ultimate source of truth and authority for us in our lives. And I want to talk about that this morning. I'm going to follow the same format Pastor did with Christ alone. We're going to first look at, is Scripture alone in the Bible? Already seen that. Talk about exactly what is Scripture and is it actually in the Bible? Is Scripture alone scriptural? And then, how did sola scriptura impact the Reformation? What effect did it have on the church at that time? What effect did it have on the people? And then lastly, is sola scriptura a doctrine or a teaching for today? Is it some old thing that we don't need anymore? It's no longer relevant? Doesn't have any impact on how we're living today? Or does it? Is sola scriptura for today? But first, is Scripture alone in the Bible? What is it exactly? I have a couple definitions. I want to look at one first. This would be the book definition right here. If you were going through the theology class we do, you would learn this definition for sola scriptura. A Christian theological doctrine which holds that Scripture, the Bible, is the sole infallible rule of faith and practice, the final authority in all manners. That's a good definition for it. But I have a simpler one here. Show it. This is a simpler definition. It means the same thing. Scripture is the highest and most ultimate authority in the life of a Christian because it is God speaking without error. Sola scriptura. The Bible alone as our ultimate source of authority. Back in Isaiah, when God spoke to the people that way, describing them, listen to His remedy for their solution. Isaiah 1 and verse 10, God continues on saying, now He's going to give them the remedy. Everything's going wrong for you. Everything's going to be going bad for you. You're far from me. Your whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Here's the remedy for that. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. God notes for them the remedy for their situation is to return back to Scripture as your authority, your ultimate authority for your life. Hear the word of the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. So the Pharisees and scribes come to Jesus complaining about his disciples not washing their hands according to their traditions, not doing it the right way. They're not falling in step with the rest of us. And Jesus answers them in verse 3. He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" He condemns them for leaving the authority of God's word for their own tradition. They too had fallen into the same error the people of Judah did hundreds of years earlier, moving away from the source or God's word as the ultimate source for their authority. He goes on, "For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say," in other words, he's saying, "your tradition is, if anyone tells his father or mother, 'What you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father." And look what he says here. This is very condemning. "So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." He's telling them, look, your tradition has made void the word of God. It's taken it away. It's nullified it. They traded scripture as their ultimate authority for a man-made tradition. Here's the idea. Can I see the stage of truth? So here's something we use in the theology class called the stage of truth. The Reformers use this idea. So there's all these different things we can go to for a source of truth, right? You can get truth from experience. If you touch a hot stove, it's hot. That's truth. So you can go to experience. You can go to emotions. You can find truth in emotions. Don't always want to rely on them. They're not the greatest thing, but you can find truth there. General revelation. Okay, the stars, the sun, the moon, tradition, reason, all those things are sources that we can go to for truth. But which one is the ultimate authority? Which one trumps the others? Our stage of truth, at the front of the stage, is where the source of truth that has the most authority in your life should be. And what do we see? Scripture. That's the place Scripture should have. Go to all those things for sources of truth. Go to them. You can find truth in all those things. But the one that should hold the ultimate place of authority in the lives of God's people is Scripture. Sola Scriptura. There's a problem. We will see problems in the lives of a people who don't hold Scripture as the ultimate source of authority. Many, many passages speak to this. I just want to look at three quotes. We could spend the rest of the week looking at passages, but here's just three simple quotes. Moses, from Deuteronomy 4:2, he says, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take away from it, because it's the ultimate source of authority." Paul said, "That you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written." If you go beyond what God has written, you're wading into dangerous territory. And then Jesus, when tempted by the devil, what does the Son of God reach for? When the devil comes to the Son of God to tempt him, what does he reach for as a source of authority? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Not man, not tradition, not emotions, not experience, but from the mouth of God. The Bible speaks to this in many places. The 119th Psalm, the whole Psalm, the longest chapter in all the Bible, is about the supremacy of Scripture in the life of a believer. You should read it this week. I would encourage you to read it. So, how did the idea of sola scriptura impact the Reformation? What reaction did the church have to it? Well, first let me show you this. Go to the next stage. So, What we saw earlier was the right stage of truth. So the Roman Catholic Church teaches this is our stage of truth. This is what they, in the Reformers' time, this is what they taught. Experiencing emotion, okay, they're at the back, general revelation in the middle, then reason. But they said tradition and Scripture were equal. Scripture and tradition are equal, valid sources of truth, and they have the same authority. That's what they teach. But show the next slide. That's what they do. Because they say that tradition interprets Scripture. Tradition can say something counter or different or add to Scripture. So they may say they're equal, but the way they live it is that tradition trumps everything else, including the Word of God. Martin Luther argued oftentimes that the councils and the Pope could and often did make mistakes. How could they be the ultimate source of truth? Let me see the Martin Luther quote. Martin Luther had this to say about that. Whenever you hear anyone boast that he has something by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and it has no basis in God's word, no matter what it may be, tell him that this is the work of the devil. Whatever does not have its origin in the Scriptures is surely from the devil himself. That kind of teaching got people killed during the Reformation. Pastor said last week, he said in his message about Christ alone, he said this about Sola Scriptura. Sola Scriptura was the formal principle of the Reformation and the foundation of all theology. That's a good quote. That's true. He went on to say, at its core, the Reformation was about rescuing the book. In other words, getting the Word of God and putting it back in its rightful place in the lives of people. Like the pulpit's here, right here in the center. Pastor put this right here in the center. The Word of God should be in the center of our lives. It should be lifted up. It should be the ultimate source of authority in our lives. But it wasn't so in the life of the church during the Reformation period. People were killed for that. People were killed for teaching the idea of sola scriptura. They lost their lives. Why? Why would that be a problem for the Catholic Church to say, God's Word is the ultimate authority? Because it revealed things. The Word of God does that. The Word of God reveals things, and it revealed that the Roman Catholic Church had rejected God's authority. And also revealed how far the Catholic Church had moved away from the gospel. How far away they had moved from Christ. Taking away from God's word, adding to God's word, taking away, adding to. Sitting in judgment over the word of God. When you move away from God's word as the final and highest authority in your life, you're going to see some things. When you look at the lives of the children of Israel, when they moved away from the Word of God as their authority, you could see it in how they lived, what they said, what they thought. And the Reformers, Martin Luther and the rest like him, they could see how far the Catholic Church had moved away from God, the truth, when Scripture was no longer their authority. I have a slide here with 10 things that the Reformers noted. There were many others, but there were these 10 things that I wanted to bring up this morning. When you reject Scripture as the ultimate authority, it allows for these things. This is where you'll find yourself. These are the kinds of things that can creep into the lives of a people who reject God's Word as the ultimate authority. Tradition over Scripture. Unsecured salvation. The idea that you can lose your salvation. You got to earn it and you got to keep it. Justification by works. Baptismal regeneration. merited grace. How do you put those two words together? Merited grace. A gift that you have to earn. Paul says, if you have to earn a gift, then it's what? It's no longer a gift, is it? The Pope. The Magisterium. Now, in the first service, I messed up during the sermon. I mentioned the Magisterium, and I said I was going to come back to them and explain it, but then I never did. So they're all left hanging and wondering, but you guys are going to get to hear. Veneration of the saints, the worship of Mary, transubstantiation, the idea that the elements in communion, the bread and the wine, through the utterance of magical words, could change them into the actual flesh and blood of Christ. Let's look at the next slide, the Magisterium. So here's the Magisterium. This comes from the Roman Catholic website, their own catechism, their own teaching. Okay? The Magisterium. By the Magisterium, we mean the teaching office of the church. It consists of the Pope and bishops. So there's some select bishops and the Pope, and they are the final word in everything. Okay? That's what the Magisterium is. They go on to say this about that. Now, of course, the promise of Christ cannot fail. I would say amen to that. Hence, when the church presents some doctrine as definitive or final, it comes under this protection. It cannot be an error. In other words, it is infallible. So whatever the Magisterium says then becomes infallible. The task of authoritatively interpreting the Word of God, whether written or handed on Scripture or tradition, has been entrusted exclusively to the living Magisterium of the church, whose authority is exercised in the name of Jesus Christ. So only the Magisterium can tell us what this means. And whatever they say, we cannot question. Even if it appears to contradict this, we cannot question it because they're speaking out of infallibility. The Reformers saw what Scripture had to say and said, these two things don't add up. The bottom line for the Reformers was that the Roman Catholic Church as a system had rejected God's authority over the lives of his own creation. So, that being said, is sola scriptura valid today? Is that something we should even care about? Does it have any impact on our lives? Is it still relevant? Or was that just a Martin Luther thing? Or is that something we should know about today? Is it something that should affect us? Is it something that should affect how we live? We all have a lot of priorities and things in our lives. Does it affect how I prioritize things in my life? The question ultimately is this: is the Bible sufficient? Is the Bible enough? Do I need to add the Magisterium? Do I need to add the Pope? Do I need these other things? Or is the Bible in of itself sufficient and authoritative for me? Ultimately, that's where you have to go. I want to tell you this morning it is. Turn with me to the passage that Pastor read from this morning in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 14 through 17. There's a lot of things I could say about this passage. And if you didn't care if we went past through lunch, I would do it. Believe me. But I just want to point out three things out of this passage for us this morning, okay? Three things that speak to this idea of sola scriptura, the Scripture alone as our ultimate source of authority. Paul writes there at verse 14, he says, and he's writing this to Timothy, who he's talking to. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Again, there's a number of things we could talk about, but I just want to point out three things to you this morning that speaks directly to this idea of sola scriptura. And the first one is found there in verse 15. Can we show that? Again, and how from childhood. Isn't that amazing? Scripture can impact a child. To what end? And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the first thing I want you to note from this passage this morning is that Scripture is sufficient for salvation. You don't need Scripture and something else. You don't need Scripture and tradition. You don't need Scripture and good works. You don't need Scripture and whatever, fill in the blank. Paul tells Timothy Scripture is sufficient, that even a child could be saved through it. The Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. For the Reformers, it was important that people understood and knew that the Scripture was sufficient. You don't need anything else. At their time, the Roman Catholic Church was guilty of adding a whole bunch of things to that. But the Scriptures themselves are sufficient. Remember, Paul said in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. The next thing is found in verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Scriptures are sufficient for salvation, and the Scriptures are sufficient for our sanctification. The Scripture is powerful enough to take a sinner saved by grace, and over time, change them, conform them, mold them, and make them into the image of Christ. The Scriptures are sufficient to change us and make us like Christ. Let that sink in. We are all fallen creatures, and my prayer is that every single one of us sitting here today might be a fallen creature, but all of us have been saved by grace through faith. But the truth is, as fallen creatures, we're susceptible to the effects of indwelling sin. Does anybody in here still struggle with sin? I do. I struggle with sin every single day. But the Word of God is sufficient to address that. The Word of God is sufficient to counter that. That's what the Reformers saw. Jesus, when praying for the disciples and praying for us there in John chapter 17 to the Father, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. His prayer for them and for us is that this would be the agent of our sanctification, because it's a true word from God, the creator of the universe. It has the ultimate authority in the universe for us. Thirdly, we see there in verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. The Scriptures are uniquely God-breathed. God's Spirit moved on the human authors of Scripture and carried them along, producing for us this authoritative and sufficient work. The thing you want to get from that, that all Scripture is breathed out from God, is that the source of this is God Himself. Why go to something less? Why go to traditions of men? Why go to a pope? Why go to a magisterium? When you can have something from God, the creator of the universe Himself. That's why this should have the ultimate authority in our lives, and nothing else. Nothing else should be on the front of the stage of truth in our lives. Here is where we go. The Scriptures are uniquely God-breathed. The Bible comes from God. He is its ultimate source. Turn with me to Psalm 138. We'll wrap this up. I say we're going to wrap this up, but I'll probably go on just a little longer. Psalm 138. Verse 2. Note what the psalm writer says here. He says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For, or you could say because, for you have exalted above all things. Now this is most important, note this. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. God Himself has exalted His name and His word over everything else. Who God is, exalted above everything else. What God says, exalted above all else. Why would we go to something less? Why would we go to something that has not been exalted above all else? Isn't salvation, isn't sanctification important enough to go to the ultimate source of authority and to that thing which has been exalted above all else? I want you to know how sufficient this is. This is sufficient to save you. It saved me. It can sanctify you. It sanctifies me. Can you show that verse from Philippians? Last week, Pastor shared this with us, and I was excited when he did. Because this passage... God used this very passage to save me, to convict me of my sin and save me in a heartbeat. Even though I had denied Him so long before, I was on my way to work. I turned the radio on in the car, and somebody had left it on a Christian station. And when I turned it on, I don't remember what the program was, but the guy was reading. He was quoting Scripture, and this is what he quoted when I turned the radio on. Click, and then I heard, therefore, God has highly exalted Him, speaking of Christ, and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I can truthfully say God's word is sufficient to save. Because when I heard those words, I was cut to the heart. I was convicted of my sin. I felt the weight of my sin. I recognized Christ as the only Lord and Savior. I recognized my need for Him that fast when I heard those words. God's word is sufficient. Do you know anybody who's not saved? Is there anybody in your family, any friends of yours, any coworkers? Do you know anybody who is not saved? I do. Scripture is sufficient to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's guaranteed. That's true. That's true. Scripture is sufficient to bring anybody to salvation. If you're still struggling with sin, like me, God's word is sufficient to equip you to deal with it. God's word is sufficient. Sola scriptura, God's word alone. Let God's word have its rightful place of the ultimate authority in our lives.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.